The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 13, text number 31, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 16th, 2013, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ajata, Shrutru, Krita, Maitra, Huta, Agni, Vipran, Nadva, Tila, Gobumi, Brukmai, Griham, Pravishta, Guru, Vandanaya, Na, Cha, Upashyat, Pitaro, Sabalim, Cha, Ajatashatru Krita Maitra Hutagnir, Vipran Natvati Lagobumi Rukmai, Griham Pravishto Guru Vandanaya, Natapashas Pitara Shabalim Cha, Ajatashvatu Krita Maitra Hutagnir, Vipran Natvati Lagobumi Rukmai, Griham Pravishto Guru Vandanaya, Nachapa Yashpitara Shabalim Cha, Ajata, never born, Shratru, enemy, Krita, having performed, Maitra, worshipping the demigods, Huta Agni, and offering fuel in the fire, Vipran, the brahmanas, Natva, offering obeisances, Tila Gobhumi Rukmai, along with grains, cows, land, and gold. Griham, within the palace, Pravishta, having entered into, Guru Vandanaya, for offering respect to the elderly members, Na, did not, Cha, also, Apashyat, see, Pitaro, his uncles, Sabalim, Gandhari, Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhisthira, whose enemy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the brahmanas. He then entered the palace to pay respect to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subala. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the most pious king because he personally practiced daily the pious duties for the householders. The householders are required to rise early in the morning, and after bathing, they should offer respect to the deities at home by prayers, by offering fuel in the sacred fire, by giving the brahmanas in charity land, cows, grains, gold, etc., and at last offering to the elderly members due respects and obeisances. One who is not prepared to practice injunctions prescribed in the shastras cannot be a good man simply by book knowledge. Modern householders are practiced at different modes of life, namely to rise late and then take bed tea without any sort of cleanliness and without any purificatory practices as mentioned above. The household children are taken to practice what the parents practice, and therefore the whole generation glides towards hell. Nothing good can be expected from them unless they associate with sadhus. Like Dhritarashtra, the materialistic person may take lessons from a sadhu like Vidura and thus be cleansed of the effects of modern life. Maharaj Yudhisthira could not find in the palace his two uncles, namely Dhritarashtra and Vidura, along with Gandhari, the daughter of King Subala. He was anxious to see them and therefore asked Sanjaya, the private secretary of Dhritarashtra. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapadakamalam, Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganadanvitam Sam Sajivam, Sadaitam Savadutam Barijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitam Shcha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine, Nevisheshu Shunyavadi Paschajadeshu Tadane. So we can understand from this verse that practically human life is not existent on this planet. You see, human life means to rise early before sunrise, take your bath, engage in worshiping Krishna. That is human life. You see, now they sleep. They get up after the sun comes up. You see, the sun comes first, and then they get up. You see? And then they don't even do any. They don't take bath. I know as a kid, we took bath once a week only on Sunday. That was it. You see? My daddy took a bath every day, and I thought he was some kind of fanatic. There's dad doing taking his shower again. Every morning he took a shower. You see, so that. That's the modern society, once a week on Sunday. And that was it. Take a bath, get in the tub and soak in the dirty water. I mean, it was so low class. I think about my own upbringing. So when I read about this, I just think about it, you know. If the parents are low class, the children have become even more low class. And their children even more low class, and their children even more low class. You see, that's the nature of the age of Kali. Things become degraded more and more and more over time. Kali means increasing degradation. In the beginning, Kali Yuga was only slightly manifested. And then it becomes more manifest. It just gradually increases till the very end. This place would be just like a jungle. It's like a jungle. Everybody would be cannibals. You see? If you invite her over for dinner, you're the dinner. You see? So that's where we're heading. Unless we can reform ourselves by Krishna consciousness, you see. Unless we can reform ourselves by Krishna consciousness, the human society is doomed. It's finished. You see. Poet Yeats, an Irish poet, he wrote a very nice poetry called Slouching Towards Bethlehem. But in this poem he said, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. So that's where we're heading. Kali Yuga means complete anarchy. There'll be total breakdown in the society. Be no fruits, no flowers, no milk. Prabhupada said, full facility for meat eating. So the only way we can hold off, you know, this increasing degradation is to practice Krishna consciousness. And that means rising early. It doesn't mean, you know, sleeping in. Sleeping in is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna means to rise early before, by 4 o'clock in the morning, to be up, take your bath, chant, observe Mangal Arati, chant your japa. You see, this is human life. It's a very nice system that Prabhupada has given us. In the beginning, Prabhupada took it a little gradually. In the beginning, there was no Mangal Arati in the beginning. Devotees would stay out late on Harinam Sankirtan, and they would sleep in the morning. But then Prabhupada introduced this Mangal Arati into ISKCON. He said, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So in this way, Mangal Arati was introduced. And then when I joined, it was the rule. When I joined ISKCON, everybody had to get up for Mangal Arati. There was even one boy, Uddhava Prabhu, yeah. He decided to bloop and leave the movement. And when he did, he was hit by a car. And both his legs were broken, so Krishna saved him. He had to come, devotees brought him back, and he recuperated. And he tried to leave the movement. As soon as he walked out of the temple, he was hit by a car, and both legs were broken severely. He was in a cast from his waist down, and both legs were in. So, but even he came to Mangal Arati. We would carry him to Mangal Arati. All the Ramacharis would go up to his room, and we would carry him to Mangal Arati. There was no excuse. And then I remember also when I went to our Atlanta temple, I was a Brahmachari there, and the whole temple came down with hepatitis. The whole temple. There was only a few people who didn't have it. And most of us, there was like 30, like 25 Brahmacharis with all hepatitis at the same time. The Brahmachari ashram was a sick ward. Actually, they hired a physician to come in. They brought a doctor, flew in a doctor just to take care of the devotees, private doctor to take care of. But our GBC, he came, and he said, you have to all come to Mangal Arati. We were so sick. I had eyes like yellow like a canary. If I drank water, I would vomit. That's how sick I was. And I had to drag myself down to the Bhishada room. I thought I will never... Pashadam was so tasted so horrible. I thought I was forcing myself to eat, but I was thinking I will never enjoy Pashadam again for the rest of my life. I was actually convinced. That's how sick we were. I will never enjoy Pashadam again for the rest of my life. I was convinced. The disease was so heavy, but still we were ordered Mangal Arati and Bhagavatam class. We would drag down to Mangal Arati. We'd sit there, lean against the wall like Mangal Arati, then drag back up to the Brahmacharya ashram, lay down again, and then drag ourselves down for Bhagavatam class, again leaning against the wall, and just drag ourselves. It was a whole crew of us just completely wiped out from hepatitis. But our GBC insisted, no, you have to come to Mangal Arati and you have to come to Bhagavatam. I don't care how sick you are, you have to come. So that was a very good training. That was a very good training. So here I've been practicing now. We're going in for 43 years. I've been going to Mangal Arati every day. I tell you, it makes really a fantastic impact. Whether you're at a temple, you're at home, observe Mangal Arati. Rise early, sing Gravastakam prayers, offer an arti. You'll be amazed at what it does for your consciousness. One god brother said, he said, if you go to Mangal Arati, you'll have, and the whole day will become like magic. You see? It's a fact. If you observe Mangal Arati, you'll have a wonderful day. You'll have a good day every day because you've connected with Prabhupada. What do we do? Mangal Arati, we sing the glories of Srila Prabhupada, you see. You've meditated on Prabhupada and also your own Guru Maharaj. You can meditate on both of them at the Mangal Arati. Get the song to the spiritual master. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Before any other consciousness or any other ideas of what I'm supposed to do enters your brain, you rededicate yourself to your spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. That's how you start your day. So in this way, you gain the proper perspective, you see, of what's actually important in life. If we just sleep in and we kind of get up at the last minute, go to, actually, Prabhupada told us, if you, anyone who misses Mangal Arati, they have to fast. That was the penance. Prabhupada said, if you miss Mangal Arati, you have to fast. And you, until you go out and distribute a Krishna book, and then you can take prasadam. That was the move. If you miss Mangal Arati, no prasadam until you distribute a Krishna book, and then you can honor prasadam. And actually, it happened one time. I was traveling with Vishnu Jana Maharaj, and we were visiting, and we had a bus. And we were staying, visiting the Washington, D.C. temple in the U.S. And somebody has to guard the bus at night, you know, so the thieves don't break in, you know. So it was my turn to guard the bus. So somehow or other, I didn't wake up. I missed Mangal Arati because it was, you know, on the bus. I don't know why, but somehow I didn't get him. So that was my penance. I had to fast until I distributed Krishna book. So I took my prasadam with me out on Sankirtan. I took a Krishna book. And as soon as I distributed Krishna book, then I took my breakfast. That was the Vishnu Dhammaraj made me. He said, you cannot have prasadam until you distribute a Krishna book because you miss Mangal Arati. So we have to understand the importance, how much Prabhupada is emphasizing Mangal Arati, you see. That if you don't attend, you have to fail. It's a very important thing. We shouldn't think of ashram as a place like a hotel where I just sleep in, relax, enjoy my senses. Ashram, and not only this ashram, but every devotee's home should be an ashram, you see. Whether you live in the ashram or you live at home, you must make your home an ashram. So everyone should observe this Mangal Arati. At home, your home ashram, or the temple ashram, in either case. By rising early, before the sun gets up, before the sun comes, observing Mangal Arati, you will feel a wonderful connection with Krishna. And that connection will give you life, it will give you energy, it will give you meaning and purpose. Why are you living here on this planet? Are you living here to gratify your senses? Are you living here to serve Krishna, you see? If we don't have a nice morning program, we'll think I'm here to enjoy my senses. And we'll use ISKCON to do that. But if we understand by rising early and connecting with Krishna, we understand, actually, I'm a servant here. I'm not the master. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm the servant. I'm meant to please my spiritual master. I'm meant to please Srila Prabhupada. I'm meant to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm meant to please Lord Krishna. You see, in this way, I'll become truly happy because that reestablishes me in my actual identity. Sense gratification makes me blind. It makes me think I am male, I am female, I am black, I am white, etc. Sense gratification deludes the living entity into a false conception of the self. But if you actually do some penance and austerity, conquering over your sleep, getting up in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, taking bath, etc. Now you are re-establishing yourself in your actual spiritual identity as the eternal servant of Krishna, which is full of bliss, full of knowledge, and eternal. You see? So you have a choice. Do you want to be Asat Achit Nirananda or Sat Chit Ananda? Your choice, you see. Sat is eternity. Asat, temporality. Chit, full of knowledge. Achit, full of ignorance. Ananda, full of bliss. Nirananda, full of ignorance. So you can be Asat, Achit, Nirananda, or you can be Satchit Ananda. If you want to be Satchit Ananda, Prabhupada says book knowledge is not enough. He clearly states it right here. One who is not prepared to practice injunctions prescribed in the shastras cannot be a good man simply by book knowledge. You have to do tapa. You have to do tapa. You have to rise early in the morning, you have to do tapa, and then you can be a good man or a good woman, you see. You see. And do you think you can feel good if you're not good? No way. If you're not a good man or a good woman by doing tapa, you can't feel good. Because you're in a diseased state of consciousness. You can't feel good. You won't feel good. You'll be not a happy person. But if you do some tapa, You rise early, Mangal Arati, Japa, in this way, you see. You do some tapa and actually become a good man, a good woman, you'll feel great. You'll be super enlivened every day. Wow, another day to serve my guru, another day to serve Prabhupada's mission, another day to become more and more connected with Krishna. You understand these points? Is it clear to you? So this has to be practiced. This must be practiced. It's not just book knowledge. You have to actually put it into practice. Otherwise, if you don't, what happens to the book knowledge? Becomes boring after a while. Prabhupada told me one time I was traveling with Vishnujan Swami, and I was hardly getting there. I didn't find any time to read, and I wanted to study the books. So I had the audacity to complain to Prabhupada. I wrote Prabhupada a letter. Prabhupada, I don't have any time to read. And they gave him so much service, I have no time to read. Complaining to Prabhupada. Asking for help, what to do, you know. And Prabhupada said, actually, there's much time in the day for reading. Prabhupada didn't accept my argument. He figured I wasn't utilizing my time very well. And then so Prabhupada figured, he knew. There's much time in the day for reading. He said, but what good is study without practice? He was seeing I had a nature not to do anything this way. He could see I had a disease of being just being in a book knowledge. He could understand where I was coming from. I wasn't into service as much as I just wanted to sit back and read. He could understand my disease, you see. So he said, without practice, the knowledge will become dry and useless after some time. And we saw this practically. There was one boy who came to our temple in Austin. And he bought a set of Bhagavatams, and he was fired up. He would come every few days to the temple and tell us what he was reading in the first canto, the second canto. He was just like, wow, this is great. He was talking about this pastime and this personality and said he's really into it. So why don't you chant some japa also? Because, you know, that's the whole purpose. You're supposed to chant Hare Krishna, and that's what the Bhagavatam is for. It encourages you to chant Hare Krishna. He said, oh, no, and I'm going to chant. I just want to read. Well, guess what happened about the time he got to the fourth or fifth canto? He lost his steam. He lost the taste because he was not putting the knowledge to practice. You understand this point? If you don't put the knowledge to practice, you're going to lose the taste for the knowledge after some time. That knowledge which so much inspired you and enlivened you to know that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, etc. That amazing philosophy that just completely blew your mind and enlivened you like anything will become dry and useless if you don't put it into practice in due course of time. And we've seen it happen. I've been in this movement for 43 years. I've seen him come. I've seen him go. It's like a bus station sometimes. They come and they go, you see. Don't put anything in your mouth. The mouth is muchi. You can't put your sari in your mouth. So, the point is take this seriously. You take it very, very seriously. This practice of Krishna consciousness. This is do or die. It's do or die. Really, it is. It's that serious. If you don't take this seriously, we cannot guarantee you'll even have a human birth in your next life. So to guarantee that at least you'll be a human being, you must take this very seriously, this process. Very seriously take this pathway, you see. Become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Serve his orders with love and devotion, you see. Dedicate your life in the service of Krishna under your Guru Maharaj's instructions. This is the order of Rupa Goswami. Adau garashvayam sadharma prichcha sadhu margana gamanam. He directly states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 1, what is it, 1274, yeah. He says, the first step on this pathway of bhakti is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then sadharma prichcha. Sadharma means your spiritual duty, you see, religious principle. There's dharma and there's sadharma. Sadharma is the real dharma that we're interested in. How to become self-realized, how to connect with God, how to perfect my existence. That's sadharma. Sadharma prichcha. Prichcha means inquire. Let's see. You must inquire about self-realization, how to advance on this pathway of Krishna consciousness. You must be very, very eager to learn. What is this process? How does it work? How can I perfect it? Prabhupada said, don't be dull-headed. You see, don't be dull-headed. You must inquire, you see. Or if you don't have any questions, you must be eager to hear. That's another. That's also the same mood. You may not have any questions, but you should be very, very eager to hear. This was what Prabhupada said about his own position. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would speak in very, very erudite English. If you read his writing, it's very, very thick and heavy English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. And that's some of the most simple stuff that he wrote. So Prabhupada took time out from his business to go and hear Guru Maharaj speaking in, during the Rajmandal Parikrama. And in the evening time, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see that there's no nightclub there, but everybody goes for the darshan in the temples. Our Krishna Balaram temple is popular, Radha Raman temple is popular, Monkey Vihari temple is very popular. The people go to the temples for darshan. That's the nightlife in Vrindavan, you see. So in the evening time, you could go hear Guru Maharaj speak or you could go for darshan. So practically all the disciples, they went for darshan because they couldn't follow what Guru Maharaj was saying anyway. They're all Bengali villages. And they couldn't understand what he was talking about. So they would, only a few sannyasis would go to hear his lecture. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Charanday, he would sit there. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing. And when they recommended, the local devotees in Allahabad recommended Abhay Charanday, the pharmaceutical businessman, for Diksha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, oh yes, I will accept him because others go away, but this boy he hears very nicely, you see. So whether you're, and Papa didn't inquire, he only had two questions. Actually he had one question, he asked it twice. How can I serve you? So even if you don't have a question to ask of the spiritual master, that's okay, but you should be very, very eager to hear. That counts, that's as good as being, as inquiring. If you don't have an actual question to ask, like Papa didn't have questions, but he was very, very eager. His question was, when will Guru Maharaj speak? That was his question. And he would go and he would hear. So in this way, if one takes up this hearing process very, very seriously, the spiritual master is speaking, now I must listen with great care and devotion, absorb, try to understand what he's saying, you see. Because if I can take his words deep, deep, deep within my heart, that will purify me of so many sins I've committed in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes, and bring me back to my actual identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. And then the next item Rupa Goswami mentions, Sadharma, Sadhu Margana Gamanam. And then under the guidance of your Guru Maharaj, he will engage you in serving the great sadhus in our sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das. He will engage you in serving all of these great acharyas, so that you can actually become a part of the sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya, you see. So you can actually become a potent representative of the Brahma Madhva sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada sampradaya, you see. So one should take this very seriously, learn from the example of Maharaj Yudhisthira. To rise early in the morning, not to sleep in, take your bath, engage in worship every day without fail, no matter what. Actually, one time the devotees went out late for a preaching program in Mexico City, and no one came from Mangalarti. So during the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was very, very angry. He was chastising like anything, like Indra Dev throwing thunderbolts. Devotees were like, terrified. Prabhupada was so angry they didn't come to Mangalarti. He was chastising him like anything. So we have to remember this. We have to rise early in the morning and observe Mangalarti. Prabhupada wants us to do that. You see. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
He wants to know is, even if you are not sick, but you are conditioned and cannot come to Mangal Arati, and there's no one to motivate you, what do you do in that situation?
Take my motivation. Don't be a rascal.
Isn't one-time instructions is enough to motivate oneself?
Yeah, if you're really serious, all you have to do is hear it one time. If you're really serious, one word is all that's not necessary. If you're really serious about being Krishna conscious, you'll hear it one time and that'll be sufficient. Prabhupada heard one time. If you ever get money, print books. Only one time he had to hear that and that was it. And see how dedicated Prabhupada was to book distribution. Not that he had to be told 25 million times to distribute books. He heard it one time from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So you become like that. You become like Prabhupada. You're going to hear one time the instruction and take it very seriously, you see. Okay, next question. Want to come and add something more?
Yeah, I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam on the 9th canto also, where Lord Krishna was performing all these morning programs and everything. He was doing, worshipping himself, just to set up the example for common people that everyone should be waking up early in the morning and do all kind of rituals that are mentioned in.
So even Krishna has set the example, even get up early.
So Prabhupada especially says about the householders, they should wake up.
Prabhupada get up at midnight, and this 4 o'clock is nothing. Prabhupada got up at midnight. He would take a nap in the day after lunch, because he explained that an older person, digestion is more difficult. So after a heavy meal, he would take a nap. He would take an hour and a half nap after lunch, and then he would take rest from 10 at night till 12 at night, till midnight, and get up and do his translation work starting at midnight. And actually, one time, Guru Kripa Maharaj, who was the GBC at that time in Hawaii, Prabhupada was in Hawaii, in the middle of the night, He woke up his servant and said, "Get Guru Kripa Maharaj here right now." So they went and woke him up. And Prabhupada said, "Why are you sleeping?" Prabhupada got in his case, "Why are you sleeping?" He said, "Well, Prabhupada, I'm only taking 6 hours and I'm working hard all day. I'm not a pure devotee like you that I can just get by in, you know, 3.5 hours of sleep." Prabhupada said, "Why are you not a pure devotee?" He chastised him for not being a pure devotee. Talk about mercy, to be chastised for not being a pure devotee. He really got the real mercy from Prabhupada. Why are you not a pure devotee? Said Prabhupada really got in his case for not being a pure devotee. And he was a bit of a fighting type person. He got kind of angry, you know. And Prabhupada was chastising him so much for sleeping and for not being a pure devotee. And then after getting him all angry, Prabhupada then told him some nice stories from Krishna book to pacify him and said, "Now go take rest." In the middle of the night, can you imagine being woken up and be chastised for sleeping in the middle of the night and chastised for not being a pure devotee? "Now go back to sleep." So, just see the kindness of Prabhupada and see how Prabhupada was very strict. Prabhupada said, lenient with others are very strict with yourself. And say, what if nobody else is getting up from Mangalarti? Well, I should get up. Nobody else is giving up. Well, you can be lenient with the others, but you should be strict with yourself. Everybody else is sleeping like a dog, but I'm not going to do that, you see. Even if I'm the only one, I will get up for Mangalarti. By 4 o'clock, I will be up. I will take my bath. Others may be like dogs and hogs and camels and asses, but I'm going to be, But I, you know, I'm not going to be too heavy on them, but I'm going to be heavy on myself. That's the thing. Be heavy on yourself, and that will inspire others. If you get heavy on everybody else, then they become disturbed. But if you become heavy on yourself, and become super enlivened by getting up and you say, Prabhu, this is so nectarian, you should try this. I got up from Mangalarti and it was so ecstatic. I was just swimming in an ocean of ecstasy the whole day. Why don't you try it? I think you'd really like it. And you kind of like attract the people instead of getting heavy on them, you know. You know, a leader doesn't push. He attracts. See, a leader is not too pushy. Sometimes he may be pushy, but generally a leader is not pushy. People don't like to be pushed. But they like to be inspired. You see what I'm saying? He's not pushy, but he's inspirational. To be a leader, you have to be an inspiration. You see? You see? Just like your Mandela, Madiba, he was very inspirational. He wasn't very pushy, but he's very inspirational. People are inspired by people who are inspirational, who don't like this pushy, this chastising and pushing, but somebody who sets an example and shows, leads the way by his example. That's more powerful than somebody who leads by giving barking orders, you see. Of course, sometimes we may have to give some orders, but the real thing is you once should set the example, and that will inspire everyone. And that's what we studied last night. If you heard my lecture last night, we studied that. If you become an ideal example, you'll inspire everyone. That's what Krishna says. If you become an ideal example, everybody will be inspired by you. So as preachers, actually, we want to be like them. As preachers, we want to inspire others. That's the happiness for a preacher, to inspire other people to take to Krishna consciousness. So there's only one way to be inspirational, and that's to be strict with ourselves, you see. If I'm not following this process strictly, how I can inspire others. This was the choice I had, actually, in the very beginning, because previously I was a songwriter, you see, singer-songwriter. And I was coming to Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking, well, I'll just keep on being a singer-songwriter and sing songs about Krishna. And this way inspire people to take up Krishna consciousness. You know, like George Harrison, you know, My Sweet Lord, you know, thing like that. But then I was thinking, well, if I was a brahmachari, then I'm showing the full example. I move into the ashram, become a fixed-up brahmachari, and really show the full example, that would be more potent than just being a singer-songwriter, you see. So I did that. I moved into the temple. They even asked me, they said, oh, Steve Prabhu, we have no money to pay our rent. Can you sell your guitar? And so we can pay the rent this month. I said, okay. Immediately called up somebody and sold my guitar immediately without any hesitation. I gave up my greatest treasure, the singer's, my guitar. I gave it up to pay the rent for the temple 1 month, you see. Because I realized by strictly following this example of surrendering to Guru and Krishna completely, that is the most potent thing I can do to be an inspiration for other people and take up this pathway. Any other questions? Comments?
But there are three different types of students or
servants.
Servants. So each and everyone has to be dealt in a different manner. Someone intelligent will be inspired, but someone may be needing a little bit bigger push.
Yeah, sometimes pushing is necessary. A little love push necessary. Prabhupada actually said that. Just like a child, everybody knows how to read here. Everybody knows how to read. Did you want to go to school in the beginning and learn how to read? Ask your parents. None of us wanted to go to school. Not one of us wanted to go to school. We all wanted to play. We didn't want to go to school. Okay? But we were pushed. And even Prabhupada was pushed. In fact, they had to hire a man to take him to the school and make sure he didn't run off somewhere and play hookies, what we call in the U.S. They had to hire somebody to make sure he actually went to the school. They take him to the school and make sure he actually went there to the school. And then Mutti Law Seal School was where Prabhupada went when he was a little boy. They had to make sure he actually went to the Mutti Law Seal School instead of going somewhere else in the park or something and playing in the park. So the thing is, we didn't want to go to school. Our parents forced us to go to school, but we went there, we learned how to read. We didn't want to learn how to read. Who wants to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, B, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z? Who wants to learn all that stuff? You know? But then we didn't want to learn all that stuff. But once you learn it and you start reading on your own, you go, wow, this is really neat. I can pick up a newspaper, a magazine, I can read, I can learn about this thing and that thing, you see. So they become attracted to reading. So the same way, sometimes a neophyte devotee has to be pushed a little bit. Okay, get into the kitchen. Cut the vegetables, wash the dishes, this is your service, don't be in Maya. We have to be pushed a little bit sometimes, you see. Because we don't have a taste. But after you do the service and you really try to do it sincerely to please Srila Prabhupada, to please your spiritual master, to please the devotees, then you get a taste which is very sublime. And you go, wow, I really enjoyed cleaning those pots. Prabhupada said, by cleaning the pots, I'm cleaning my heart. And you know what? I really felt it. I scrubbed that pot clean and I felt clean in my heart after doing that. You see? So in this way, sometimes because we're like little children that don't want to go to school, sometimes we're like little children that don't want to do any service, sometimes we have to be pushed a little bit, you see. What are you doing, rascal? Come on, get in the kitchen. You see, sometimes we need a little push. But the person who's doing the pushing has to be an ideal example, an inspirational role model. Otherwise it won't work, you see. He has to be an inspirational role model who himself loves the service and relishes the service and can do any service in a state of ecstasy for serving Prabhupada's mission. You see? That's the person who can give a little push to devotees and they don't mind because they see he's coming from a very pure place, a very pure, selfless place of trying to help and serve others. Anything else? Questions? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to rise early in the morning every day for Mangal Arati? Without fail? Not sleep in like a dog or a hog or a monkey? Rise early for Mangal Arati? Everybody's ready? I wonder. Here's one. He's ready. You asking a question or are you saying you're ready? Both. Oh, very good. Thank you. Now, what's the next question?
So, when you're practicing and you're following you're following the process as prescribed. How do you stop yourself from actually feeling when? Because it feels good, but how do you stop yourself from thinking that I'm a good devotee? And
when you follow the
process, how do you stay humble?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada, I just read a quote the other day. Prabhupada says, one should feel proud of being a servant of Krishna. But note that Prabhupada said servant of Krishna, not a devotee. There's a difference. You can say, I'm a servant of Krishna, but to say I'm a devotee, that you should not say. Say, I'm trying to become a devotee. See, devotee means one who is fully devoted to Krishna. I'm trying to become a devotee. I am Krishna's servant. That's my actual identity given by Lord Chaitanya. Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishnara Nitya Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's my identity. Right now, I'm devoted to Maya. I'm devoted to my senses. I want to be a devotee of Krishna, but I'm not really a devotee yet. So you should never think I am a devotee unless you think I'm a devotee of my senses. That you can think. Don't think I'm a devotee of Krishna. Now, for preaching, you can say that, but for your own, you know, for your sometimes, but for your own understanding, you should understand, I'm not really a devotee yet. I'm trying to become a devotee, one who's devoted to Krishna, no longer devoted to my senses. You can feel proud that, yes, I am Krishna's servant. I'm very proud of that identity. That's my actual identity. Just like there was during the 60s in the U.S. when the black people were becoming, getting their civil rights, there was a saying, I'm black and I'm proud, you see. That was a saying in the U.S. So we can say, I'm a servant of Krishna and I'm proud, you see. Same idea. We're not ashamed of our identity. There was a time when the blacks were suppressed in the U.S., then, you know, feel like you're low class kind of a thing. The same thing with apartheid, you know. So then there was, I'm black and I'm proud. That was a famous saying in the 60s. So I'm a servant of Krishna and I'm proud of being a servant of Krishna. The same thing. We're not ashamed of being servants of Krishna. We're very proud of that identity of who we actually are. But we don't think we're devotees yet. That's where you make the distinction. I'm right now I'm still devoted to Maya because I'm still serving my senses. So I want to be a devotee of Krishna. So in this way, if you understand I'm proud of being Krishna's servant, but now I have to learn how to become his devotee. You're proud of your identity as Krishna's servant, but now you have to be humble, think I'm not really fully there yet in pure devotion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Don't think I'm a devotee. Or we may call you Prabhu, especially initiated devotees are supposed to be called Prabhu, you see. But one should never think, oh, I am Prabhu. Prabhu means master. Actually, it means Lord also. Prabhu is a name for God also. It's a very big title. Nityananda Prabhu, even the Chaitanya Charitamrita says Chaitanya Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya is also called Mahaprabhu. He's also sometimes called Chaitanya Prabhu. It's a very big title, Prabhu. But so we should teach the other devotees as Prabhu, especially the initiated disciples. But I should never think, yes, I am Prabhu. We should think, I am servant. So the more you can think that I am advanced, the more you're a neophyte. And the more you think that you're a neophyte, the more you're advanced. So just try to understand how to actually become an advanced devotee. You feel yourself very, very, very lowly and fallen, servant of the servant, the servant of the servant. And then you, by that very humbly thinking of yourself, you become the most exalted Vaishnava. It's an interesting, in this connection, one time a disciple wrote Prabhupada a letter. He said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. You know what Prabhupada wrote him back? He said, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. Put him in his place. He very proudly said, Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. You see, Prabhupada didn't, he cut through it. You're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So, what did Prabhupada say in his arrival prayer? Have you studied that lately? Prabhupada said, I am an insignificant beggar. That's how he presented himself in the arrival prayer. I am simply an insignificant beggar. So what should we think of ourselves? Is I'm a great this, I'm a great that, I'm a great fool. Is it? Who thinks he's a big shot. I'm such an idiot, I think I'm a big shot. So feel yourself very insignificant, meek and lowly. And Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, you see. So we want to become powerful leaders on this planet, as a family. We want to become powerful leaders who can inspire the whole human society to take to these teachings. You see, we want to become big, big leaders, even bigger than Mandela, you see. Our aspiration is to inspire the whole human society to take to this movement. That's how big leaders we want to become. But we have to understand how to become a big leader. The more you become very humble, 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 humble servant, that's how you become a big leader. Not thinking, yes, I'm big, I'm great. No, I'm very insignificant, very fallen soul, just trying to somehow serve Krishna and give up this slavery to my senses. So we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming to Bhagavatam. Please take this process seriously. And Srila Prabhupada will shower his mercy upon you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. Hare Krishna.